Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 12 of the Lose Weight, Create Life podcast. My name is Ryan Tomko, and today we're joined by my friend Nikki Hines. Nikki is somebody who has lost a significant amount of weight, but is also somebody who has kept the weight off for quite a long time as well. Nikki shares a lot of insights with us today about diet, nutrition, what her journey was with fitness, as well as mindset, which has been the most eye-opening thing I've learned from Nikki since I started following her. If you enjoyed today's message, please feel free to share this with a friend, somebody you feel this message may be of use to. And with that, let's get into the episode. Nikki, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm super, super excited to have you. I know I've been following you for a little while now, and I think your story is super interesting, and I really can't wait for others to hear it as well. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I was, you know, completely shocked when you asked me if I would, join you on here. I've been following you for a little while. I think your journey is exciting. I'm really starting to get into listening to everybody else's podcast now. So yeah. It's just exciting to hear everyone's story and see where they've come from and what they've been through. So thank you so much for having me on today.
It is, absolutely. I know when I first found your page, I think it was through either Daryl or I don't know, somebody.
And
yeah. And I remember seeing your before and after picture, and I was just like, holy crap, like talk about a lot of hard work. So take us into the beginning. How did you get started with your weight loss? And I know is it 100 pounds you've lost total and kept off? Is that right?
A little over 100, yeah. Yeah. I fluctuate a little bit here and there. I had a brief period about 2 years ago where I slid into a bad spot and put on probably around 30 pounds, but I've since taken that off again and gotten myself back to where I should be.
That's awesome. Now, when did it all start for you, and how did it all start? Was there a moment that you had to kind of take a step back and go, you know, holy crap, what am I doing? Or how did it all begin for you?
I tried and failed many, many, many times, at losing weight. I want to say I started gaining weight in middle school. Mm. And I was a only child, my single mom, she worked full time. So the house was basically all mine when I got home after school because mom worked. She would just make sure, you know, it was back. I'm going to show my age here, but it was back like when microwaves really started becoming a thing in everyone's houses.
Okay.
So it was all like microwave friendly kid approved foods. So like Micro Magic hamburgers and pizza rolls and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So I had gone home to make sure, you know, to kind of like police what I was eating or anything. So I started gaining weight. And, you know, when you hang out with your friends all day, everyone goes to the store and they buy snacks or you grab fast food. And I rapidly just started putting the weight on, and I wasn't happy with it, but I didn't know how to fix it.
Yeah. So what were your first steps to take in, you know, towards fixing it? How did you get started?
So my first true attempt, like really like, oh my God, I have to do something about my weight, was probably right after I had gotten engaged. And you know, the whole, you have to look good for your wedding photos and everything.
Yeah.
So I think I started using like SlimFast or, you know, something like that, teamed up with, mixed in with Weight Watchers and like trying to go to the gym, and I would lose some weight and then I would gain it back. And I never hit my goal for my wedding. I lost some weight, but I never hit my goal or anything. And then I had two kids, and, you know, each pregnancy adds a little extra weight, and I was very unhappy, but I was in a vicious cycle where I was unhappy looking in the mirror, and then I would eat my feelings and make everything worse. You know, after the kids would go to bed, it was my quiet time, and I would sit on the couch and find comfort in a pint of ice cream or a package of cookies. And things continued like that for quite some time. It wasn't until 10 years ago, I started seeing infomercials for like P90X, and I had met, I was introduced to someone on social media who was trying it, and they had great success with it. And I was like, you know what? I want to get to a point where I can do something like that. And right around that time, we also had a trip coming up to Disney World, and we had some friends meeting us, and she was also overweight, and we had made a bet with each other because it was August and we knew we had to wear bathing suits at the pool. We were like, okay, let's see who can lose the most weight before the vacation. And I had lost about 30 pounds before the trip, and I just kept going. And shortly, a couple of months after that was when I finally got myself a copy of P90X, and I jumped in, even though I probably had no business jumping into a program like that.
Yeah, sure. It's a lot. It's definitely a lot.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when I first started, I didn't use P90X. I was just trying to get my eating under control. I was trying to cut out the pints of ice cream late at night or the cookies late at night. Then once I had that under control, I kind of went to, you know, not taking seconds at dinner time or not eating off of my kids' plates when they didn't finish what, you know, I had made them to eat, because, you know, you don't want it to go to waste. And then as I started feeling better and gaining more energy from my new habits, I started just incorporating walking. I had a stationary bike in the house, so I would get on that. And then I incorporated some yoga.
That's so awesome.
Pretty slow and steady in the beginning, which honestly I think is the way to go.
Right. It sounds like you took a very easy approach rather than, I know every time I ever started a quote unquote weight loss journey, I would think, man, I'm just going to get up and go run a mile or two. Right. And when you're over 400 pounds and you're just like trying to walk, let alone run, it's, you just lose that fire right away when you realize you can't even make it down the end of the street.
Yeah. It's so, like, it's defeating, and you're like, I can't do this. I don't know why I even thought this was a good idea. I'm just going to go to McDonald's or something.
Right. Oh, and like you said, it's so easy to eat your feelings away right after, just because you're like, well, I guess I'm just going to be overweight forever. So,
right.
It's this interesting dynamic we do to ourselves.
It's now, just a cycle.
Yeah, it really is. Now, Nikki, what has it been for you? What do you think the secret's been for you keeping it off as long as you have?
It was definitely changing my habits. When I approached things this time around, I didn't just look for a quick fix. I started with a lot of personal development and really diving into why I was using the behaviors, the coping mechanisms and stuff that I was using. So, I mean, there's that aspect that as you start seeing the change and you start realizing, oh my God, I'm capable of doing this, there's that drive behind that keeps you focused. But I think if you don't really address what the true issues are, it's almost impossible to have long-term success, because those issues are always there. You're just kind of like masking them with whatever you're currently focused on. But once your focus drifts a little bit, you open up the door for those old issues to find their way in and start to take control.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the easier way, like we were talking just before, how you approached it. It's so easy to overlook walking or just doing a yoga routine, but those things are so critical, and accomplishing those things, having those little wins throughout your day, just getting through those things is so important moving forward for you and just your longevity in general. I think that's something we often overlook. I know for myself, every day I'm kind of in the middle of a program, if you will. However, it incorporates 2 45-minute workouts a day, and one needs to be outside. And I know my outside workout is just every time it's a walk. Mm-hmm. And just doing that every day is so relaxing and just really gets your mind off of the busyness that life brings. Yeah. And it just makes everything so much easier. And it makes, for me, I know it's very cyclical, because before I started the program, I would lift, you know, a couple days a week and then get off track. And then over the weekend, I wouldn't lift and I would eat like crap. Mm-hmm. Well, then Monday would start up again and I would go through the same cycle. I would work out really well for a couple days and then fall into the same rut. So it's interesting, like you said, building those habits every day and really making a point to hit every important thing for yourself each day. What do you think it is for you every day? What are there certain requirements you have for yourself, or is it just a feeling that you have, or is there like a list that you go down of things you need to meet each day as far as your habits go?
I used to have a daily to-do list, and there were typically five things on there. It was, you know, wake up and read, meditate, get my workout done, drink my water, and avoid snacking.
Yeah.
Those were my things. And if I could check those off each day, I knew I was doing okay. Right. And the reason why I kept it at, you know, avoid snacking is because I'm a firm believer in balance. I don't believe in fully cutting anything out, even though I have, I've done keto in the past and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, you are cutting out certain things, but, I don't believe in stuff like that for long-term success. I feel that anytime you completely cut something out, we're almost just like wired to then mentally want that even more than we might have wanted it if it was permitted. So I have no problems, you know, going and grabbing a burger or having, you know, pizza Friday or enjoying chocolate and stuff like that. It's just, I've learned what my limitations are and I became very aware of the signs of when I'm pushing things too far and I'm about to slip down that little slope.
Yeah.
And you know, what I have to do in order to rein myself back in.
Okay. Now, I think one of the things that anybody listening is going to think is, okay, I get the first four, but the last thing you said on there was the avoid snacking, so which is seemingly impossible for many of us. What kind of tricks or things do you do if you have an urge or, you know, have a craving? What kind of either mental exercises do you do, or have you built up that muscle to resist snacking?
That was a really hard one. But I found that as long as I was drinking enough water every day, I wasn't hungry.
Yeah.
And, like I had said, I did a lot of personal development and kind of deep diving on what some of my issues were. And I knew that I was an emotional eater. So if I was like, oh, I need a snack. And the way my house layout was anytime you went downstairs, you had to filter through the kitchen. So it was really easy to just like go downstairs and walk through the kitchen and just like mindlessly grab something. So I started just kind of doing a check-in with myself. Like, am I actually hungry or is something bothering me? And I'm just looking to alleviate whatever that mental stress is with something to eat.
Right.
And once I started stopping myself and doing that little check, I was realizing, no, I'm not really hungry. I just had lunch like an hour ago. Let me just grab some water for now. And if I'm still hungry in a little while, I'll revisit things. Or I would find myself like searching the cabinets for like something crunchy. And I'm not even hungry right now. I'm like, but I'm super stressed out. So I'm just looking to take it out on like that crunchy item because there's something satisfying about eating it.
Yeah, there definitely is. And it's definitely a mental cue. I know I just got done reading The Power of Habits, and it talks a lot about like routine cycles like that. And it's interesting because now that I look back on my life, I've had this one that has like made me struggle this entire time. Every time I've tried to lose weight, it's every time I get off of work, there's always that moment. And now I work super close to my house. It's only 5 minutes, but there's that lapse when you're driving home and you're like, well, I could just stop and, you know, get whatever, a bag of chips or Chipotle or something. And it's so easily accessible at relatively cheap, and it's fulfilling, but in not the right way. And right. we just fall into those tropes so easily. Now, luckily, I've been able to study out my nutrition throughout the day, have a protein bar in the mid-afternoon. So by the time that comes around, I'm not even thinking about food. However, I know that was one of the biggest things for me personally was, God, getting the snacking out of my life. It's mm-hmm. so difficult sometimes.
It really, really is. And it's, I honestly think, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, I'm so out of shape. I can't go to the gym. I can't do those programs. I'm never going to be able to walk that amount of miles or anything. And it that's just proof that weight loss is like 90% a mental game.
Yeah.
If you can convince mm-hmm. yourself and get your mindset to, well, I could do this, or I might not be able to do 2 miles today, but if I start out doing a quarter of a mile and I keep that up, I'll be able to build up to that two. When you shift the mindset of things and you really start looking at your behavior, that's when the magic happens. That's when the change really, really starts to kick in. But you definitely have to be willing to call yourself out on your own BS.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I know one of the last episodes I put out there was one about your self-talk and how vital it is to us. Mm-hmm. One of the best things I know I've done for myself is, I forget where I heard it from initially. I'm trying to think. I don't know who. However, making sticky notes and posting them throughout wherever you're living, either mine or mostly in my bathroom on the mirror, because especially when you go to look at yourself in the mirror, that's a hard talk that you're having with yourself usually. And then having some positive post-it notes or just inspiring words, something right there for you to look at while you're critically judging yourself based on your reflection is so important. And just writing down, like the two I have up right now are bringing value, how you bring value every day. And the other one was show up every day. So show up in your life and for your future, every facet of your life. Just show up every day and provide something that's going to carry you going forward. What do you think for you mentally? Are there certain routines? I know you talked about meditation, but are there certain things or certain things you have around you that keep your mentality strong?
Things that I have around me. Well, my life has changed a lot over the last couple of months.
Right.
So my environment now is very, very different than it was this time last year. I recently went through a divorce. We were separated for quite some time, but still living together due to finances. Which is a very stressful and interesting situation to be in. Yeah. I definitely found my workouts to be my lifeline during that time. They were my sanity. It's how I would clear my head, kind of like how you said, you know, your outdoor workout every day, just going for that walk. It just the fresh air, just getting the adrenaline going and everything. There's something. It's almost like a reset button in some ways. It just can clear out anything that has gone on that day and give you fresh perspective. So my workouts were definitely that. In January, I moved out and I felt like a nomad for a while, and I completely lost my schedule because I was staying with my mom while I was trying to find myself an apartment that was close enough, like for school districts and all of that stuff. And I was still bouncing back and forth to the house in order to help out with the kids. And I would leave work and like almost have to sit in the car for a little while to be like, wait, where am I driving to? What am I supposed to be doing? Like, where am I sleeping tonight? Like, I had no idea. And that messed with me, and how I didn't gain a bunch of weight during the last 3 months.
Sure.
I have no idea. I think it was just the constant running around that helped, because I really wasn't working out. I had also started a new job during all of this. And I work every day in a grocery store. So I have access to all kinds of stuff. And it's kind of crazy, but now I have my own space that I absolutely love. And it's all mine and it's set up in this calm manner. And I have a new routine where I make sure that I lift a minimum of 3 days a week. My son is really excited that we have a gym here in our apartment complex. So he's been pushing me to do more cardio, which is something that I absolutely hate.
Yes, I agree.
I hate cardio, but once I'm doing it, like when it's over, I feel amazing. Right. I used to run and I hated every single run I did, but seeing that run completed and the distance I did and like whether or not I was able to beat my last time, there was just something rewarding about that, even though I hated every second of the actual run.
Right. Oh, I get that 100%.
So it's just always finding, I guess, something that grounds you, something to focus on, something that keeps you going. Like even those messages that you said that you have posted, you know, just show up every day, bring some kind of value. With me also, I had a lot of people that look toward me that I helped to get started on their journey. And I think that's always in my mind. Like, I want to be real with them and show them that things aren't always rainbows and unicorns, but also that it's not okay to give in to all of the circumstances that are going on around you.
Sure. I find it very interesting and really cool how you described yourself as a nomad when you started on this whole process, because when I think of a nomad, I think of somebody, maybe I'm just thinking of a fantasy trope here. However, when I think of a nomad, I think of somebody that's got to be very strong and very, very, how do I want to say this? I guess stout or just very strong in general and strong-minded, strong-willed to be able to survive and get through things. And it definitely shows in the way you present yourself either on social media or through your podcast, but you're a very strong person to be able to go through all of that, because like you said, how you didn't gain a bunch of weight throughout that whole process is amazing, because I know if I were going through something similar like that, it would be so easy to just instantly slip back into bad habits and feel bad for yourself and get back into those terrible things. So that's amazing that you were able to withstand and stay strong during those months.
Yeah. I mean, I have a great little core group that I can, you know, rely on for things. We love to call each other out on our BS whenever we have the opportunity to, which I think is so important that you have people that just, that'll call you out when they see you doing things that don't just sugarcoat everything or make additional excuses for you to make you feel better. When I first started losing weight, I really got a wake up call as to who my friends were and who they weren't. It was upsetting at first because of the amount of people that I thought actually were friends who turned out not to be friends.
Right.
And you know, I went through something similar again recently. I think anytime there's a major life change going on, you realize this stuff. But when, as far as weight loss goes, it's always been my social media group of quote unquote friends that have been there and have been the biggest support for me. I had, you know, back when I had first started out and I decided to, I don't know who I thought I was, buying P90X and jumping into it.
Yeah.
But I'm a very stubborn person and I was like, nope, I'm going to do this. And, right. Twitter was like the big thing back then. And I started figuring out what hashtags were. And I found a great group of people who were all doing it. And to this day, I'm still friends with the majority of them on social media, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
About it. And now, you know, in the Instagram world, I have, you know, Daryl and Gary, who are just absolutely inspirational and phenomenal individuals. Same thing. Shred Happens. Arash is another one of my favorite people over there who I can always, you know, talk to and bounce ideas off of. And just, you know, when you're lacking that momentum that day, it just seems like one of them are almost in your head and they just post that little nugget that you need in order to get over that hump. Daryl's like infamous for that stuff.
Yeah, he kind of is at this point. I would say so as well. It's funny how you talked about the P90X, because when I was a senior in high school, I think it was either the summer going into it or just after we graduated, one of my best friends in high school and I decided we were going to do P90X. He got a copy online, and I mean, we did it for, I want to say it was like 2 weeks we were into it, and we were doing it pretty consistently. We would meet out at his house every morning. We would do it, and it was awful, but we made it through. And it's funny how you talk about knowing who your friends were, because that same person, a couple of years later, I remember I was in a band at the time, and that's kind of what I was pursuing at the time. We were thinking about bringing him on as a drummer, and we were sitting there. We were sitting there while we were kind of introducing him to what we were doing, and I remember talking about weight loss with one of our other band members who was really fit, and he was like, yeah, man, like, we'll go to the gym, I'll show you what's up. And I remember my friend from high school was just like, Ryan, you're never going to lose weight. I don't even know why you would waste your time. Like, and I remember in that moment, it really hit me. And luckily now I don't have moments like that where I'm just out to prove people wrong, because I think that can be very dangerous. However, sometimes you need that kind of fire initially. And I know initially that was one of the things where I was like, man, I'm going to prove this idiot wrong. Like, I got this. And like you said, you really find out who's really supporting you, who's really there for you, and who actually cares about your well-being, your future, and all that. It's interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And that's, I mean, when you really sit back and think about it, that's a terrible thing to say to a person. And then that also, you know, sitting here thinking about it, ties into what we were talking about as far as our conversations that we have with ourselves. Like,
right.
I would never look at someone and be like, I don't know why you're even bothering to do that. You're only going to fail. There's no way you're ever going to do that. But it's acceptable. Like, we make it okay for us to have those conversations with ourselves.
Exactly.
Like, we look ourselves in the mirror and be like, look at you. You're, you know, why are you even putting on workout clothes? You're only going to come home and eat whatever and just, you know, completely screw up what you just did. And those are the conversations that we have and we're okay with. But if we ever heard our friends speak to someone else like that, we would be disgusted.
Right. That's really powerful what you said there. We let ourselves do that, like you said, or if somebody were talking to us like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, now I would never let somebody like that say something to me. I would definitely bite back. Like, I'm a very positive, optimistic person. However, if somebody says something like that to me, I'm not going to be as generous, you know, kind. However, like you said, with ourselves, we allow that talk to build up, and we just make it okay to let those thoughts sink in. That's why I think either having something either with you, like, for a long time, I used to have a post-it note in my pocket that I would pull out, and every time I would look at it, it would say something on it. Or just around your space, just to re-engage that self-talk and rewire your brain for a more positive, optimistic outlook. I know a lot of people, when they hear that or they hear the word gratitude, they think of just people like skipping through a garden of daisies or something. However, it's so important, especially when you get into weight loss and you're really at odds with yourself and your body and whatever exercise you're doing. It's so difficult. Rewiring your brain for that positive and impactful outlook is so crucial.
It really is. And it's so easy to get sucked into the negative talk because so many people are just negative. Everyone hates Monday. They hate going to work. They hate this. They hate that. Like, everyone so freely just talks about everything that gets on their nerves. But it's rare that you hear people say, you know, anything positive, like just something as small as, you know, the weather's so nice today. Like, I'm lucky to have time to be outside and enjoy this. Like, it's rare that you hear anyone talk like that.
Oh, well, it's easy. It's easy to get into the negative. It's easy to point out all the bad things because at any given moment, you could point out 100 of them, you know, mm-hmm. And it is, it's easy to find that negative, and it's harder to find a positive outlook in things. Oftentimes we think the world is stacked against us and it's raining, so God must hate me, and you know, somebody cut me off, they must want to kill me, or you know, whatever it is. It's so easy to pinpoint those things rather than focusing on, you know, I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm, you know, have free time, like the time we have to discuss and talk today. Like, there's so many things that we take for granted in those moments. And it's, I don't know, that's one of the things I know I work on continuously, is especially in traffic. In traffic, I can be a hothead, not because of like the way I drive, but when I see people doing like reckless things, mm-hmm. it definitely triggers me and I get pretty hot. However, that's one of the things I have to realize is, not everybody is doing those things like to harm you. They, you know, either maybe they saw something, or they think they're trying to avoid a crash or something, or who knows what it is. However, just knowing that the world's not out to get you is a hard realization for people to grasp.
Wait, do you mean that the world doesn't revolve around like just me?
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the earth definitely rotates around my feet, and I know the sun, I'm on the, you know, on the axis for the sun to revolve around. So that's exactly it.
Yeah, that's part of the problem these days. It's, yeah. Everyone's very self-centered for the most part. There are those few, you know, rare people who are out to genuinely help and share. But the majority of the people I have encountered, it's very, what can you do for me? It's disturbing sometimes, but I've definitely learned over the years how to pick them out in the crowd right away, and then just avoid things. But yeah, I mean, gratitude, going back to that, it's really another game changer to me. I started keeping a gratitude journal back in January because of how crazy life was getting. I just needed those 10 minutes at the end of the day to just sit down and reflect upon, you know, 10 good things, 10 wishes for that day. And it's really powerful when you start picking out stuff like that. I mean, there were some days that I was just like grateful for coffee.
Yes.
It was like coffee was the highlight of the day. But when you start being grateful for just little tiny things like that, the little things that we tend to overlook, like lights, Wi-Fi. I mean, these are things you don't have to have in order to survive.
Yeah.
When you just start being grateful for that and focused on all of these good things that you have in your life, your mindset really does start to shift away from the negativity and the, oh my God, my life is so awful. And I feel like more good things begin to come to you. And that could just be because you're more aware of them, because you're switching what you're focused on, but either way, that's a win to me.
Right. Yeah. I can't tell you how important it was to me after my mom passed away, because I was, again, thinking the world was out to get me. How could this happen? And then looking introspectively, it was like, what am I doing to myself? Like, how am I honoring my mom if I'm, you know, over 400 pounds, I can't function, and I'm not even going to live, you know, long enough for to make a difference. And gratitude was something that I found very early on, luckily, to the point where I think it was a month and a half ago now, I got the word gratitude tattooed on the inside of my right ring finger.
Okay.
And it's kind of well hidden, but every time I look at it, I know, like, I think, what am I grateful for in this moment? And it's definitely a muscle you have to flex like every day, because like we said, it's easy to get into the negative. However, I know for me, that's, again, posting some or having something around me that I can read and look at to make, you know, give me a better outlook. But seeing that every day, every other second, really now, seeing that all the time, it's huge for me to just realize, like you said, electricity, having a bed to sleep on, having shoes on our feet. Something like that. There's always something around us to be grateful for, to be thankful for, and not just around the holidays either.
Right.
Most people like to talk about it around the holidays for sure, which is nice, and it's good to recognize those things. However, what are you doing the other 360, 2 days outside of the big holidays? what are you doing those days to give thanks, to be grateful for? Or are you just an angry mess the rest of the days? And how are you impacting the people around you? I know a lot of where I work currently, I work at a dermatology center. And I know when I first got there, the culture wasn't very good. And then there's big bubbly Ryan walking in and trying to make everyone smile and make everybody laugh. I don't think people knew how to, you know, react to me just because I was very far out and different and very just happy-go-lucky, especially after my mom passed, even more so. However, well, after I came to terms with everything, I should say. Mm-hmm. But it was like I was already a black sheep because I was a guy working in a majority of women in that work environment. And then there's me trying to, you know, make everybody see the positive and be optimistic. And it's interesting. However, I think it is something, I don't like forcing things onto people. However, I think that's one of the things you kind of should force onto people and help them realize and kind of have that like welcome to God moment, or that, you know, however you want to say it, the come to Jesus moment. That's what I was thinking of.
There you go. Yeah. People take things for granted. One of my favorite activities to do. And I mean, now I'm at the grocery store all the time. But it used to be to walk around the grocery store and just look at people and smile at them and see how uncomfortable it made them. Like,
well, they don't know how to respond. They don't know how to react.
And it's like, but the response is so easy. You just smile back.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't like, it was crazy to me to just see like the people that would, some people would actually like almost scowl back and like look away and like make a face, like what's wrong with this person?
Oh, for sure. Everyone thinks you must be like high or drunk at the time. Like, why are you smiling at some random person in a grocery store?
Right. But, and it's funny. Cause now my current role, I actually, I work for Instacart. I supervise the shoppers, and
sure.
I want to talk about gratitude. I get to read a lot of the customer comments that they leave about their shopping experiences. And while you'll have, you know, your people who complain that, you know, their bananas had spots on them, or, you know,
sure,
bread was a little squished, you get a lot of people who write back saying how grateful they are to the service because they either have young kids at home and they can't make it out to the grocery store, or they just had surgery and you don't realize how much you take things like grocery shopping for granted until you can't leave the house to do it.
Right.
And it's stuff like that, that, you know, I try and share with my staff, because so often they complain like, why can't people come out and get this stuff themselves? And why? And it's like, well, first of all, you wouldn't have a job if they could come out and get it themselves.
Exactly.
Second of all, you know, I share all these things. I'm like, you're helping someone, you're making a difference, you're making someone's life a little bit easier. And that's really something to be proud of.
Definitely.
And I've noticed more of their mindsets start to shift when they come in for their shifts now. Like they're kind of not as grumpy and angry.
Right. It's hard too. Well, and I remember because I used to be a retail manager here in Ohio for a little while after I graduated high school, and I remember thinking that same thing. And then my mindset shifted when I was like, "We're feeding families. Like that is so critical and so important." Like, how can you not be somewhat grateful? I know people are rude and say mean things sometimes, but at the end of the day, like, you're feeding families. It's huge.
Yeah. And that's the big thing. What part of Ohio are you from again? I knew you were from Ohio, but I forgot. Yeah. Are you in like the Akron area? Did I get that right?
I'm pretty close to Akron. Yeah. Northeast Ohio. I'm about 30 minutes from Akron, about an hour south from Cleveland.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's, and luckily, at least today, it's about to be 80. Every other day, it's been like, we think winter's coming back, so.
Yeah, but that's typical Ohio weather.
It really is. You would think you would get used to it. However, when you see, like, four different seasons come all within the same day, like, twice, it's it gets a little concerning. So, I'm just praying that it stays, like, 70, 80 when I go on my walk this afternoon. So
that would be awesome. Yeah.
Here's the hoping. Now, one thing I would be remiss if I didn't circle back to, Nikki, is the fact that your relationship with your kids, and you were talking about your son going to do cardio. What does it mean to you to have this new healthy lifestyle and healthier outlook when it comes to your children?
It's big to me because, as I had said in the beginning, I started gaining weight in middle school. And I've watched my son doing, the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I know how awful other kids can be. And I know how rough it is, you know, just going through the life transition of, you know, being a kid to going into a teenager and, you know, all of that stuff that comes along with it. So for him to come to me now, and say, you know, Mom, I want to change. I want to become more active. I want to change my relationship with exercise and stuff like that. He's not quite at the point where he's willing to give up all of his snacks and stuff yet, but baby steps. You know, seeing that and knowing that I have this experience and these resources that I can pass along to my child to make their life easier, it's huge to me because it's something my mom wasn't able to do for me. She always struggled with her weight. For as long as I remember, my mom is a, forever Weight Watcher. She joined, I want to say I was in like elementary school, and she still goes and she still struggles, with her relationship with food and everything. And I think it's just so common between the whole emotional eating aspect of things and then just the crap that's available to us that's called food.
Yes.
that's the biggest thing. It's like it's not food. It's like another drug.
Yeah, my girlfriend and I, I'll give her credit for it. She often calls it like a science project and just all this stuff. Like the first thing that comes to mind is a Twinkie. And when you think of what is all like in that thing, it really is just this crazy science experiment that is able to hold together, and it's called nourishment. Yeah.
And it's like, no, even like the documentary with McDonald's and like fry was like underneath a seat for like ever, and it looked perfect.
Yeah, that or yeah. And when didn't they like incubate a bunch of them too for forever, and they were just fine?
Yeah.
That's
so scary. Strange.
It really is. It really is. Now, you said, you know, your son was kind of wanting to make a change before. Did you kind of find yourself trying to, like, you know, force different foods or habits on him?
And I never forced anything. I always tried to get him to try new things, be open to new things, like any vegetable other than broccoli. It's the only vegetable I can get either one of them to really eat. Now, that's a lot. My daughter's a little better. She likes like asparagus and spinach and stuff like that. My son is just like broccoli. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason I ask is because I know if I were a parent, I would be like, oh my God, please don't. I don't want you to have to deal with what I had to go through. So like eat this now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I could only imagine how difficult that can or could be at times.
I've had conversations with them about it, and I've told them, you know, I don't want you to think I'm pushing anything on you. I just want you to understand that I've been down the road you're starting to travel down, and it's not fun. And I'd like to help you pick a different road if you'll let me. But sometimes, you know, teenagers know everything.
Yes.
They have everything figured out. They know better. Adults are dumb.
Yes.
We're just annoying and in the way and should stop talking because of whatever. But I think they have to hit that point themselves. Same thing like with adults. If you're not open and wanting and willing to change, you're never going to change.
Right. Well, it's easier for teenagers to kind of exist in that world too, because everybody else is eating like that. So why do I have to eat like that, Mom? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And that's the scary part when you look at our food and everything. Everything's marketed towards kids.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Everything is a commercial towards kids as to why it's so cool and, you know, and then you have their friends whose families might let them do that. I know one of my daughter's friends loved coming over to our house because of all of the snack foods that we had. And she said her family didn't allow any of that into the house. So she didn't have access to it there. So it's kind of one of those twofold things. You know, you say, oh, it's the parents' fault, you know, when kids are overweight, because you allow this stuff into the household for them to start eating. But kids find a way.
Right. Yeah. They...
If they're not getting it at home, they're going to end up binging on it somewhere else, or they're going to turn into teenagers or go off to college, you know, the freshman 15 and everything, where they're on their own now and they don't have that guidance from an adult, and they go crazy enjoying all of these things that they've never been allowed to enjoy before.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. It's cool that you're able to have that conversation with them now, that you're able to build not only your relationship with them personally, but then, you know, help them nutritionally and through exercise if they get to that point, if they want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had, you know, even growing up as an only child and single, you know, parent household, and I had free reign. So I got myself into a lot of trouble.
Right.
As a teenager. So like, I've been able to talk to them about, you know, stuff like that as well. And I'm not a sugarcoater when it comes to anything. And, you know, I'll tell them, look, I did X, Y, and Z when I was your age, so don't try and pull a fast one over on me.
Right.
But if you need to come and talk to me about any of this stuff, I want you to know that I've been there. I've done that. I understand. And I'm not mad.
Yeah. That's huge. That acceptance. And like you said, that I'm not mad, because so many kids won't come to their parents because they think they're going to get angry, get upset and vent to them. And that's amazing.
Yeah, I'll look at myself in the mirror and get mad if I skip a workout. So go figure.
Right. Exactly.
Going back to that self-talk.
Oh, I know. Well, exactly. It's so crucial. And it's cool that you're able to give your children that kind of at a younger age too, or help to build that, help to facilitate it.
I try. You know, the goal as a parent is to raise functioning adults. So
yes.
That's, you know, awesome. I don't think any parent out there gives themselves, you know, enough credit or thinks that they're actually doing a good enough job. Because again, self-talk, but I like to think that I'm doing okay with them.
Yes. Right.
And that's all you can do is, you know, hope for the best. And if not, make sure that you have really good health insurance that covers their therapy as they get older. So.
That I've never heard it put that way. That's very true. It's very true. Yeah. Unfortunately, but very true. Yes.
It is. You know, as I kind of look at my daughter sometimes, I'm like, you're going to be 18. Yeah. I don't think you're going to, we've pushed you to the pole in any way. So we've done okay.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Well, if they're, you know, alive, they're breathing, they're functioning. That's good, right?
You're okay. And, you know, I keep telling her, cause she's almost going through, I've been calling it her super early midlife crisis, because she's graduating high school and she feels like all of her friends have their lives figured out already. And she doesn't. She doesn't know, you know, what kind of career she wants to go after. And she decided she wants to take a gap year because, you know, what's the point of going to school if you don't really know what direction you want to go in? And I just keep telling her it's okay. You're growing up in this amazing day and age where you can teach yourself all kinds of stuff online. And anything that you're interested in, you could kind of just like dig deeper into things and figure it out and dabble in it and then make your decision. So personally, I'm very grateful that she decided to take a gap year, because I would rather her figure things out than waste my money.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Yeah. I mean, I could sit here and rant about college forever, because right before we got on here, I was finishing up one of my final projects for this semester, and I was just thinking to myself, man, like, I'm paying so much money and all this stuff is so self-explanatory for me. Like, if I just cut ties and were able to just, you know, really teach myself. Like, I could learn all of this and then some. Like, it's interesting, and it's cool that she's able and willing to take that year to learn. I know for myself, I didn't know what the hell I was doing after high school. I didn't know what I was doing, you know, until I was like 24, after a couple months after my mom passed. It finally, like, light went on. However, for everybody, it's different. So good for her. Good for her to take that time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I keep telling her, you're 18. You don't have to have life figured out yet. Heck, I'm going to be 43. I still don't have life figured out yet. So you just have to kind of roll with it.
Well, that's like after, you know, before I graduated, I was like, all these kids want to go be doctors or do mechanical engineering or biochemistry or whatever. And I'm like, well, I don't think I can do any of that. So we'll see what happens.
Right. Like if she would have come to me and been like, I want to go to school for sociology, I would have been like, no. Yeah. I feel like that's the default major, like, that
college degree
of kids leave high school deciding that they're going to go into. And no offense to anyone who might be listening who majored in sociology or worked in the sociology field. That's not my intent at all. It's merely based off of, I want to say, 80% of the people I went to school with who all went to school for that, and not a single one of them works in that field. So
well, that and like psychology, I can't tell you how many people I graduated with that were psychology majors and don't have jobs. They can't do anything with it.
Yeah,
it's interesting. So I don't think it's a bad thing. You're just, it's kind of the truth, unfortunately, for some.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. You know, with all the fitness stuff and everything, I ended up becoming a certified personal trainer. It felt like the direction to go in because of the success I was having, and I had more and more people coming to me looking for guidance.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I want to at least fully know what I'm talking about, you know, from a more educated standpoint rather than just, this is what, you know, I did and it helped. So I went on, I have an NASM CPT. I also have a behavior change certification also through NASM because the mental aspect of it is what definitely intrigues me the most.
Yeah.
And then I also went on to become a fitness nutrition coach. So I have that as well. By trade, I am actually a graphic designer.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Makes sense.
I dabble with blogging and podcasting and social media stuff. The blog started out as my almost like a diary for myself when I started doing P90X and all of that stuff. Blogging was kind of the cool thing to be doing, and I couldn't think of anything else to possibly blog about. So I was like, oh, I'll share my experience.
Sure.
And I was kind of shocked when people were actually reading it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really weird transition to make from, okay, I'm just making this for myself, to holy crap, people are actually like consuming this.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, there's that moment. It's like, holy crap, people are reading this. And then it's like, why is anyone reading?
Right. You don't want to second guess it. You're like, yeah, keep reading, I guess. I hope you like it.
Yeah. And then Daryl is actually the reason why I started the podcast. Because Daryl loves to push people. It's his thing. And he has a very, he's very talented with it because it's almost like he, like the movie Inception, he kind of like plants the idea way back in your brain. So you kind of think it's your own, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's Daryl.
It's very true. Yeah, it's very true.
So I had started playing around with the podcast back in August, and I think I did like 2 or 3 episodes, and then I was like, I can't do this because negative self-talk. And it wasn't until recently that I decided to start doing it again, because I was kind of mad at myself that I didn't stay consistent with it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to start doing like a Who Inspires Me Wednesday thing. And I started interviewing people for it. And once again, I've kind of fallen off, thanks to life circumstances, but I swear I'm bringing it back. So if anyone is listening to this and they check out the podcast and see a lapse in content or anything, I can be a little sketchy like that as far as
yeah
falling off with things, but I always find my way back.
I didn't want to make this like an hour long calling you out session of where the podcast episodes. However, you have a very unique voice for it, and as far as the content you bring, so I know for myself I am intrigued to hear more, and I can't wait for you to bring it back. So I'm sure many others are as well.
Well, good, because this will now give me an opportunity to bring back the interviews by asking you if you would do me the honor of being on my podcast next, so we can dive deeper into your story on mine, and it'll give me the little kick in the butt that I need to start doing it again.
Of course, absolutely. We will get that set up after we're done here.
Yeah, now I have proof that you said yes, because this is recorded and all the listeners are going to hear it. So,
I edit this out, but yeah, sure. I'm just kidding. that's funny. All right, Nikki, I do have one more question for you. I'm gonna make you think a little bit on this one. It's one I kind of ask at the end of every interview I've had so far. I kind of ask this. But so
I was the only person who did that. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm pretty sure I must have stolen at least the concept of it from somebody. I just twisted it and kind of made it my own, I think. I didn't directly steal it from somebody, but we'll see. Oh, time will tell, right? Now, if you were to meet somebody for the first time who has to lose a lot of weight, like you were when you were first starting out, mm-hmm. and for whatever reason you're only going to have a little bit of time with them, and you can only share with them three things to get them started on their journey, what three things or three pieces of advice, tips, tricks would you give to this person to send them on their way before you have to say goodbye?
The first one, I think, would be patient with yourself. It's a journey, or, you know, like a lot of people say, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of ups, downs, U-turns, you name it. You're going to encounter all of it. But if you remain patient with yourself and allow yourself to be a human who is mm-hmm. flawed, but in a good way, you'll eventually find success. My second piece of advice kind of ties into that, and it's take it slow. Pick one thing that you struggle with and simply focus on that until you conquer it and you master it and you don't feel like it's an issue for you anymore, and then add another one and build upon it. It'll take you longer, and that's where the patience comes into play. But it's how you truly, truly conquer those bad habits that you have and put new healthy habits into play. And then my last piece of advice would be not to be concerned about what everybody else is doing. Put your blinders on, stay in your own lane. And don't get caught up in everyone else who is doing whatever cool style of eating or workout is currently going on and posting about it and sharing all of this amazing success. Don't let it discourage you, especially with social media. Social media is a highlight reel for the most part. Most people aren't sharing all of their struggles. If they are sharing their struggles and they're real and you can relate to them, do not ever unfollow them. And for the most part, don't be afraid to even reach out to them. DM them, let them know that they inspire you or what your story is, or pick their brain, especially if they've had success. Most people, I know, you know, myself, you, Daryl, Gary, all of these people that are similar to us, we want to share our stories. We want to see other people succeed. We want to meet new people and hear their stories and become inspired and motivated ourselves. Just from the new people that we meet. So yeah, that's them. Patience, is definitely the biggest one. Start small, because slow and steady wins the race, and stay in your own lane.
I like that. I like that how you said that social media is more of a highlight reel. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there is so much noise out there to kind of sift through. I remember seeing when I first joined Instagram, like way back when, I remember seeing somebody that did, so they showed their like before and after of weight loss and it was amazing, right? And then they showed a video of themselves doing a burpee into a backflip. And then I'm like, well, crap, if I can't do that, I'm never going to get skinny, right?
Right. Or you're not successful. Like, even though you lost all this weight because you can't do a burpee into a backflip.
Exactly.
Your story isn't good enough. Your journey wasn't good enough. How could you ever inspire anyone else if you can't do a burpee into a backflip?
That's exactly it. It's interesting. However, these real conversations, they're not like forced. And that's where I know, at least myself speaking, I get a lot of inspiration from is real people, real stories. And you hear that from people. However, you can tell a lot of it's like forced and whatnot. So,
yeah, I definitely agree. So wait, I have one question for you. You're in Ohio. Are you doing the Flying Pig with them?
I am not. Okay. I was planning on it, and by the time this comes out, it will be past the Flying Pig event. Unfortunately, I mistimed the Flying Pig with an event for Toastmasters that I have coming up as well. We have our like annual conference coming up on the same date, unfortunately, and I completely messed up the dates. So unfortunately, I kind of have to take my Toastmasters route because it's been an engagement of mine for a little while, so unfortunately, I still have to send out my messages and say I'm sorry. But yeah, unfortunately, I won't be. But next time.
Yeah, I can't make it either, just because of work and everything. I was really, really, really hoping to, but the 9-hour drive with work and everything is cutting things a little bit close. But I am definitely going to be messaging you about the Toastmasters stuff because that's something I've been looking to get involved with. And I keep putting it off because that's like way outside of my comfort zone.
It's funny because I heard you. So when we set this up, this interview up, the last week, I think it was, mm-hmm. I remember listening to your podcast and you were talking about how public speaking wasn't your thing. And I was like, well, crap, neither. It wasn't for mine either. Time to join Toastmasters. So I am like, and not only because I'm pretty involved with it now at this point, not only just because of that, but just because of how much growth it's given me in general and just confidence in talking and interacting with people and just the leadership skills you get from it. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's listening to it, that's even thinking about it, just go sit in on a meeting, just one, and maybe it takes two meetings. I know the first club I went to, it wasn't ideal, and I ended up switching clubs to the club I'm at now. And Toastmasters really is a gift, and you get so much value out of it for you don't pay that much. I think it's like $45, $50 for 6 months.
Okay.
And it's very minuscule in regard to how much you receive from it and the skills you get, the people you connect with. It's tremendous. But yes, I will give you more insight as well, because I can't speak highly enough, because it was something I knew I had to do, but I didn't want to do whatsoever. And it really has brought me out the other side a lot better. And this podcast wouldn't have even started if it wasn't for Toastmasters. So, okay.
All right. You're convincing me. Good job, kind of.
It's funny because, like I said, I didn't want to at all. And then when somebody would tell me about it, I was like, yeah, that's great enough for those that want to do it or people that are good public speakers. And I never saw myself in that platform. And you don't just magically get there. You grow with it. Get up for the first time and speak, and it's awful. And then you learn, and everybody's always encouraging, though, and that's the thing, is you learn and grow amongst friends, and that's the best kind of an atmosphere you can ask for.
All right. And you're definitely, you're swaying me a little bit. I've been forced to do, like, networking events and stuff recently, too, because of different work opportunities that I have, mm-hmm. and to say I'm uncomfortable at them would be an understatement.
Right.
I can sit like this and talk all day long. Sure. Put me in a room full of people and I just fall apart. So
it makes you very aware to the way you talk, the way you present yourself the what your face is doing, because you get like evaluated while you're speaking as well.
Okay.
But it's very productive, and it's very positive too. Every once in a while, I'm sure you'll come across somebody that takes it in a negative light. However, everybody's very helpful, insightful. They want to see you succeed. So I can't talk enough about it. And like I said, if you would have asked me this 6 months ago, I would not have been an advocate for it. I knew it was important, but I knew I didn't want to do it in the same vein. So
okay.
Now I can't speak highly enough about it. And I know my current president, Michelle, is going to be listening to this episode at some point, I am sure. Michelle, I love Toastmasters. Thank you for your help. You're great. Had to get that plug in there. But
yeah, definitely.
It really is. I mean, you'll find people like Michelle is for me that will bring you along through it, help you grow, help you learn, and you'll learn about yourself and how you can impact others through Toastmasters, especially if you don't think that's your thing, because I didn't think it was my thing at first, was inspiring people and helping others. Toastmasters really helps you grow through that and helps you find your voice.
That is wonderful information. It really, really is.
Yes.
Like, yes. Podcasting will also make you very aware of how you speak.
Yes.
I tend to use the sound yes. as a filler a lot. I have listened back to my recordings, which is something I no longer do. I just publish them because I'm like, I sound like an idiot. Like, I keep saying, look, here I go again, negative self-talk.
yes.
How many times could I possibly say, as I do this? So now it's kind of just become a joke between, some people and myself. So hopefully that's something that I'll also be able to break with confidence. And I feel like Toastmasters is something that really helps to build that confidence and self-awareness from what I've heard.
It does. And it makes you very, I don't want to say hypercritical because that's not a very good term. However, it makes you very, very reflective in how you speak, where you make those filler words at, and how you can.
Is much better than hypercritical.
Yeah. Just because the way I think of it, when I first went to my first couple of meetings, I was like, and I would do that in my head. I'd do this little circus in my head. Eventually, you learn to make those natural pauses, stop, think, and breathe. And it just, I mean, it's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And you learn along the way. I'm not perfect by any means, trust me. So yeah. Everybody learns. Perfect. I think in that sentence right there, I just gave like three filler words. That's okay. Everybody learns.
Yes, progress over perfection.
Absolutely. Nikki, thank you so much for joining me today. And before we sign off here, I need you to tell people where to find you at. How can we get in touch with you? Where can we listen to the podcast? Please tell me more about your clothing company that we haven't talked about at all, because I think it's awesome. Give us a little insight as to where we can find you at.
Okay, so on Instagram, I am at Bronk787. That is Bronc 787. You can reach me there either just in the regular feed. You can feel free to private message me. As I said, always love meeting new people and hearing their stories. The podcast is the Nikki Hines podcast. That's NikkiHynes. It's available on Spotify. I use Anchor to record, so it's on the Anchor app. It's also on iTunes as well as other podcast resource places. The clothing line, which is quite neglected because of my life's craziness lately. I have a link to that. Actually, all of this stuff is in my Instagram. I have a link tree there. It was Nicole Hines Designs. I had some fun, snarky, sarcastic style t-shirts that were great for wearing to the gym and just letting people know how you really feel about things. I also have a very neglected blog, which if you'd like to learn more about my story and maybe check out some recipes and stuff, it is getfitwithnikki.com. And Twitter, I'm also Bronk787.
And it's okay that you say neglected, because now that you and I are connected, I'm going to push you until you come out with everything. And because I want to hear it and I want to buy more of your shirts, such as I work out because punching people is frowned upon. I think I'm going to buy that like the second we're done with this interview. So, because I love that. And yes, so be on the lookout, because I will push Nikki until she starts posting more things again. So
yay, I'm going to have you and Daryl giving me a hard time now. I'm so excited. And Gary.
Yes. Yeah, look forward to that hard time, because I can be a pest. So
that's
I'm sorry.
I appreciate it. You guys forced me to grow as a person. And that's my biggest goal, is to always try and be a better version of myself than I was yesterday. So thank you.
Absolutely. Nikki, thank you so much for joining me today. And if I don't edit this out, I look forward to speaking with you in the future on your podcast as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Ryan.
Absolutely.
Nikki really gave us a lot of good insight today about mindset, diet, nutrition, just simple things we could add into our lives to give us sustainable success. Listen back and you may hear a few things that you may want to implement into your daily life. I know for me, a lot of it was mindset-wise. Listening to her talk about her mindset, her day-to-day mindset, is super empowering to me and super insightful for me to learn going forward as well. I know I have several takeaways from her, and I can't wait to follow her more and listen to her as well. If you enjoyed today's episode, please feel free to share this with a friend, somebody you feel this message may be of use to. And if you have a moment, please feel free to leave a review on whatever platform you may be listening on. And in case you haven't been told this today, remember, you are worth your dreams.